Welcome to Bamboo and Glass, a space where we discover the abundant possibilities of who we can choose to be. In today's episode, we're discovering the abundant possibilities of who we can choose to be in our careers. I'm one of your co-hosts, Han, and I'm usually joined by my other co-host, Sophia. I hope you've all been having a great start to your new year. It's 2023. I don't know about you, but things feel like they're on the up and up for the new year, and I'm really looking forward to see what this year unfolds. The new year usually signals the turning of a new leaf, endings and beginnings, a new chapter, and so perhaps you may have made resolutions or goals for 2023. And maybe one of your goals has to do with career. And in particular today, we're going to be focusing on changing our careers and making a jump, whether it's to a new role or to a new industry. So I myself have talked about this quite a bit on the podcast in the past. I had started off out of college as a software engineer, where I got to work on a lot of really cool features for different apps and products that were consumer facing. Long story short, I ended up deciding to quit my job in 2020 in a time that felt very uncertain and pursue film school and become a filmmaker. And so since then, I've gone ahead and produced, written, and directed a couple of different stories that have been very personal to me. And the biggest question I always get has to do with, how did you even consider making this career change? How did you have the thought of knowing which direction you wanted to go in? What were the actionable steps you took to get to where you are? Those are all such big questions, and I've had the same ones. And like I mentioned earlier, I made that career jump in 2020, and luckily, I am not the only one who had made a big career jump. Back in 2020, on our podcast, we actually had a series called Career Changemakers, where we invited a couple of different guests to give their thoughts, perspectives, and expertise on the different industries and transitions that they've made. And so today, I've compiled a couple of tips and perspectives and wise words from all of these people to potentially help you or your loved one on your journey of making that career jump yourself. If any of the snippets from these conversations resonate with you, we've gone ahead and linked all of the full episodes down below. But to quickly introduce the different guests that we have Minji Chang, Susan Cho, Raina Moroka, and Jen Ren. Minji Chang is an entrepreneur, community activist, executive director of collaboration, producer, actor, podcast host, and so much more. And in her episode, she shares about how she connects the dots among all of her endeavors. As for Susan, she began her path as a young, successful pharmacist, but held onto a childhood dream of becoming an actress. And we dive into that transition in her episode. Raina Moroka is a longtime guest that we had had on her podcast. And in her episode, we dive really deep into her experience as an Asian woman in classical music and what led her to quit violin and break into tech. And last but not least, we also have Jen Ren, who has done a myriad of experiences, and I'm sure you'll get to hear about her perspectives throughout this episode of how she's gone from animal welfare to tech and then finally to medicine. We have a variety of different industries that were able to be represented throughout all of these episodes. And so we've done our best to compile some of the snippets that we want to take with us into 2023, because these lessons from 3 years ago still resonate with us to this very day. Just a friendly note that these episodes and interviews were recorded back again in 2020, and it's very likely that a lot of our guests' journeys have evolved since then. And so I hope that you take this not as a source of truth of the present moment for all of these folks, but of the lessons that they've learned along the way that were beneficial to them during that part of their life journey. So here's what you should know about what it takes to make a career change. I think the first thing I would want people to know when they talk to me about career changes is that the desire to want to make a career change can come from anywhere And whatever that desire is, it is incredibly valid. You could, on one end of the spectrum, have always known that you wanted to pursue this dream from a very young age.
I always knew that I wanted to be an actress, like ever since I was a little girl. And I remember going to my English Kumon teacher and she asked me, like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I said, like, so confidently, oh, I want to be an actor.
Or you could have stumbled upon it.
And then I went to grad school and I realized that I was sort of interested in the technology of how basically the school was functioning. Let's say, you know, there were these like programs the school was using to like basically schedule rooms or like talk to, like, you know, students could talk to their teachers and things like that. And I was like, that seems kind of outdated. Like, how are those things functioning? Like, what can we do to improve it? Then I realized, like, actually, there's a field called software engineering where you actually get to build that stuff. Just spend some time just learning, like, oh, like, this is a language, but it's actually really fun. It's super creative. You can build stuff that, like, it just, like, appears on the screen. Like, wow, who would have thought?
And in whichever way you stumbled upon it, you maybe noticed your curiosity or your fire or your passion light up inside of you.
When I got to work at a zoo to design environmental enrichments for lions, I chose to do that program not because I felt like it helped me advance to any place that I wanted to go, but to be frank, like, I was like the kid that always like watched Animal Planet on TV whenever like I could. Just really, really loved animals. Like every book I would read would either be like a somewhat realistic fiction book that like had people interacting with animals or like were from the perspective of animals. And I think it was just like a moment of, oh my gosh, like how many chances do I have to work at a zoo? And sort of like tap into that I was really excited about. I think that helped me realize like, why expend all this energy working towards something that we think we have an obligation to when there's like so much in the world that needs to be worked on and like requires people and like is good work and that you can also be excited about? Yeah, and I like loved that sophomore college because it inadvertently and I like could have never imagined that it would tie in this way led to my first job as a product designer.
And I want to take this moment to address the loved ones, the people around the people in the circle of someone who has confessed that they want to make a career change or they want to pursue a new passion. If it doesn't make any sense and there seems to be no rhyme or reason to their path, before offering them the perspective that they are probably already aware of that this doesn't make sense, maybe take a moment to consider how much courage it must have taken to share this dream, this passion, this inkling of curiosity with you, because they know that this makes no sense. And at this point, they're looking for people who will rally around them. The number two thing you should know about making a career change, the fear of what people think of you, the fear of failure, the fear of the unknown, never goes away. It hasn't even gone away for me as I tread new waters every single day and seem to have grabbed my footing. What matters is evaluating how much that fear will control you versus every other aspect of that passion and that curiosity.
I think for me, I still struggled with not being embarrassed of the fact that I had this dream. And so I always feared their judgment, whether even those like my close friends, and even though I knew that they would like love me and accept me for, because they do right now. But looking back, like at that time in my life, I was still struggling with it on my own. Like I was not like confident and I wasn't like, hey, this is what I want to do and I'm going to work hard. Like now I'm like that. But back then I'm like, oh, I'm so scared of like what people would think of me, like how they would judge me, how like some may think like, oh, Susan, like you're wasting this time, like you're wasting a degree. And like, what are you doing? Like I was so fearful and I already kind of had like what they might say in my mind, but that's actually the complete opposite. So I was like, now their support just means so much to me. And I think it kind of makes me like look back. I was like, man, like I should have just been more vocal about it back then. Because, You know, if it's like your friends and family, they first of all just love you no matter what. But I think personally, I was still like kind of coping, I guess, just like trying to come to a good stance of like, hey, this is my dream and it's okay.
When you were trying all these really, really different things, did you at any point fear being penalized for being so versatile?
Always. And I think that was the hard part. Feeling the fear of like, I'm not doing it right, or like, I'm going to get penalized, or like, I'm not getting responses or hearing back from places, right? Like, did I do it wrong? And I think like, I don't know that I figured out how to not feel it. But then I think rather thinking a different thought, which is if I'm very clear about who I am, like what my values are, what I like doing, then like, sure, my like response rate will probably go low, like go down, that I like won't get the opportunities that I think I want. But remembering that like this whole process of finding what you want to do is also a two-way street. The more authentic you can be about sending your signal means that like you can also find the places that are right for you. And I remember being very vocal in some interviews about, like, I think my commitment to diversity, equity, and inclusion. I think once you set that signal, you will also find places that shut the door on you. And it's hard to remember in that moment that you're like, all right, cool. Like, and I, like, go back to things that have happened to me prior, right? Thinking about, like, my first product design experience, right? That's, like, the place that I found some of, like, the most, I don't know, inspiring mentors and I think like where I was given so much freedom to like do things that like even full-timers weren't able to do, to like go on business trips and like go to clinics and talk with like physicians and patients and just like all this happened because I was honest about what my past is, what I care about. But I wouldn't, yeah, it would be disingenuous to say that I like didn't worry about it, because I did, always.
Third, rather than give you some goals or action plans on how to get started, we want to offer some questions that you can pose to yourself. At the beginning of the episode, I mentioned a couple of questions that I would get asked. And I think ultimately, the root of the questions that are asked that have to do with what were the tangible steps that I needed to take, what was the first direction, the first place I looked, underlying all of this is a huge mental battle. A mental battle with others, maybe, but more importantly, a mental battle with yourself.
He's like, Minji, you're still in the middle of being at a really good school. He's like, you better finish school. I think he thought that I was gonna like dip out of college, which I was not gonna do. But he's like, you need to get your degree. And he's like, I think you should work. And he's like, if you work and get a salary, you get vacation days, you get benefits. If you can have all those things and you're still willing to give all of that up to have instability and deal with lots of rejection and uncertainty in a very brutal industry, then maybe you could be an actress.
I think so much of it is not, like what Sophia said, finding that thing that you carry on forever, but like what you said, Dawn, which is to better understand yourself. And I think that also means like today, I don't really work for like animal welfare, right? But I think I learned things about like the way I like to work, like how I like to interact with people, when am I most productive, that I think are the most critical things to answer for ourselves, because the topics might change. Like the world will evolve. Like the landscape is just going to look so completely different that the only constant is you.
How has your definition of success changed, and what have been the various influences on those?
I've recognized through maturity that I was very, very ego-driven. That is what's changed for me in terms of like getting the gold star. I was very driven. Like I was like, I want to win an Oscar, and you know, I wanted to do all these things, and I joined collaboration because I wanted to meet celebrities. I wanted to meet the YouTube celebrities. So I was like, count me in. So there was different carrots, you know, the dangling carrot, like that drew me in. And the things that made me stay are very different. And those factors were the things that I think have altered my definitions of success. If you'd asked me when I was younger, being able to rattle off all the celebrities that I knew, still to this day matter and mean a lot, because like a cool experience, somebody that you admire is now standing next to you and like knows your name and you get to shake their hand. That's amazing. I don't take anything away from that. But that might have been definitively it. Like, yo, I just met blah, blah, blah. And it's kind of like you bank a lot of like, well, what does that say about me? The likes and the glory and the glitter, being able to say that I got to do this. But now I say my measure of success is feeling harmony between different facets of me. And that has taken time and trial and error to figure out what my values are. If honesty is a value of mine, being in Hollywood is going to test that. You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of people cut corners, and a lot of people, it's PR, it's smoke and mirrors. They use these terms because that is part of the game sometimes, right? Having honesty, integrity, craftsmanship, I care a lot about, is it good? I don't want to make things just to make them. I want them to be excellent. Because if I'm going to put my name on it and everybody else on the team's name on it, it needs to be of a certain quality in my mind.
I think the fourth thing I would want people to know when it comes to changing careers at an unconventional time is that sacrifices will have to be made. However, I think the word sacrifice can feel very belabored, especially in the narrative that I personally grew up in, and maybe some of you would resonate, the idea that in an immigrant household, our parents have sacrificed so much, and thus in turn, there are sacrifices that we will have to make as well. I think sacrifice has the implicit connotation that I have to give up something big, something of great priority to me. And while that is, of course, true in some cases, I think sacrifice can also mean smaller things. And sacrifice can still mean big things, but they can mean things that are big to other people that have slowly decreased in importance to you. And you are the only one who can answer whether that sacrifice is something you're willing to make. Let me repeat. Each sacrifice that is made is unique to each person, not to each industry, not to each job or role, but to each individual person.
So I remember, like, I signed up for my very first acting class. It was on Wednesday nights. And that was like the one day off I had. And I didn't want to tell my manager about like working every weekend and how hard that was for me, because I felt like if I told her, that would take away my Wednesdays. And so I just kind of like, I was like, you know what, Susan, if you want to pursue this, you're going to have to make sacrifices. And I sacrificed like a lot of my weekends, a lot of my hours, just so much so I can take acting classes on that one day that I had off. And, you know, throughout the years that I've worked, I had a couple like schedule changes too with pharmacy wise. But I always kind of just said like, hey, like, with the other pharmacists, like that day, I'd be like, if I had another class scheduled or something came up, I would just ask her, like, can you switch with me? And most of the time, like, they would say yes, and sometimes they would say no. I remember I had classes the night, like after a full shift, and I would go really early in the pharmacy, work the full hours, drive an hour to go to acting class, like eat in the car at a stoplight, and just also like getting no sleep. And when you're working those long hours and it's that draining to you, you're not happy. You really ask yourself, man, like, what am I living for? Like, this is someone else's life and it's not mine. And I think at one point you really have to ask yourself, Susan, like, you sacrificed so much already to come here. And like, I think at that point I was already scared to make the full jump of quitting my job, doing acting 100% full time, because there's so much unknown, right? Like, I went from such a stable job that was paying well, and then to something that I was like, nothing. Like, I have no guarantee of anything. But to me, at that point, I asked myself, or I told myself, I rather try and fail than not even try. To me, that was a bigger failure to me. Like, I rather try and know that I gave 100%. If it didn't work out, like, at least I tried, right? But then I would have regretted so much if I didn't even dip my toes in the water. And that's when I knew, like, I need to do this and see what happens.
Number five, things will take longer than you expect. And that's not a sign of your weakness, of your inability. It's actually an illusion. things that seem like overnight successes actually took years.
The one that I start looking in general, meaning like researching boot camps, even figuring out if I wanted to do it, was probably a process of like a year and a half.
Boy, it was a very gradual shift. It wasn't like a one and done. I just roll out of bed one day and be like, I'm done with all of it. It didn't ever feel like that. It was more of just continuous question asking and checking in with myself. I was like, this is really interesting. And like some days I'd be like, I'm all about this. I was doing violence prevention for women and children. And again, my bad relationship in high school was an abusive relationship for 5 years. So I had a lot of passion for wanting to help serve in that capacity. So I did that for 3 years after college, was working for a public health nonprofit. But along the way, different skills were kind of coming to the surface where they offered me to start doing public speaking and doing presentations, which at the time only managers were doing it. People at my level, you know, in like their very early 20s were not presenting. But my executive director of that nonprofit, I think he just heard me talking all the time. He's like, hey, you want to try presenting? He like co-present this with me. So he gave me an opportunity at a very young age. And it was a small segment, but I remember like I killed it because I was passionate about it. I liked what I was talking about. I wanted to help educate people in the room about these health outcomes. And so that was like the beginning. So there's little nuggets like that that I think continue to grow. And because that one went well, he gave me another one. And because of that, my manager, she started like having me co-present little segments. And so it just fed into different parts of me. That performer part of me kind of came back alive. In college, I'd spent two semesters doing theater. And that was at the very tail end of college just because I had classes that I needed to fill. I don't know when I can even say things really shifted. It was very like a gradual tide.
And if you're making this career change at an unconventional time of your life, then I hope at this point you're able to throw away any concept of a timeline, because there's no such thing as a right timeline. My final takeaway from the experience of changing careers is it's important to surround yourself with thoughts and words that will encourage you, push you, motivate you in all the right ways. And I mean that in all aspects. There's a quote from Austin Kleon, who is the author of Steal Like an Artist, 10 Things Nobody Told You About Being Creative, which is just as applicable to this topic. You don't get to pick your family, but you can pick your teachers, and you can pick your friends, and you can pick the music you listen to, and you can pick the books you read, and you can pick the movies you see. You are, in fact, a mashup of what you choose to let into your life. Be very intentional with what kind of language you surround yourself with that can enable you to feel empowered to take that first step.
Financial stability is no joke. I do not take that lightly, especially as a woman in my 30s. It is something really, really important to think about and plan for and incorporate. If you are going to take a risk, take a calculated one. Be smart about it. Volunteering for collaboration, being around all these artists all the time, helping create a platform for them to thrive and for them to be seen, it only further fed my desire because I was around them and I got to watch their hustle. It made me want to take that risk myself. And so I thank collaboration for letting me, I mean, we gave to each other. It was a very symbiotic relationship. I gave my time and energy and they gave right back. But that led me to start taking acting classes. Again, it's a very gradual transition. I didn't just quit my job and like say bye to my salary and all my benefits. I started taking an acting class because I had the money to do that and I had time. When I actually got to book stuff, two examples. One of them is this was years after I'd started acting, right? Like I've already been acting. Acting can be it is a very long process. Anybody who thinks that anybody is an overnight success takes a lot of work and a lot of building of craft and network and just luck to be in a place to like make it in any sort of fashion. And that measuring stick is very different for each person.
I want to leave you with some words of affirmation from our guest.
Be your own advocate. Like really advocate for yourself, and you are more capable than you will ever understand. Like it is, you are more than what you think you are in your head, especially those who struggle with like imposter syndrome or just confidence, which is something I really struggled with. Was like, I still actually struggle with confidence and feeling like I am worthy and I'm capable, but you absolutely are. And if I can be of any help. It is just that I was able to do that. I was able to go from not really knowing what I wanted to do and like even thinking that, am I even capable of doing this thing, to actually doing it. And so if I can do it, everyone can. Like, you know, it's just, I think that's really, I think that's the gist of what I would really want to say. But also it's truly take the time to know what you want and to be okay with what you want and to then run with it. Like, you're allowed to do whatever you want. And I think a lot of the times we can limit ourselves in our own scope of life. And so not feeling that constraint can actually really free you to understand if you really want something or need something, or if like you even feel okay about a certain decision you made. And like, I wish for myself too, that will be something that I can work towards, that I will feel freedom in my choices and also just more confidence in the choices that I make.
Again, if you'd like to take a chance to listen to the full-length interviews, we'll make sure to link those in the episode description below. And again, I'll reference Austin Kleon from his book Steal Like an Artist, where he says that everything that needs to be said has already been said. But since no one was listening, everything must be said again. So whether you have tuned in since 2019 or 2020, or you're just tuning in to this episode for the very first time as a listener of Bamboo and Glass, I hope that these words found you in the right place, seize your day, and seize 2023. And with that, I hope you have a great rest of your week, and we'll be back for a new episode next Sunday.